Welcome to the Data Strategy Show, 66 Questions, Data Leaders Unplugged. I'm your host, Samir Sharma, and I'm delighted to have Aaron Wilkerson on as my guest today. Aaron and I connected on LinkedIn about 3 years ago, and what I loved about him was his curiosity. It's something that has been with him for a long time. As he says, ever since he was a child, he would take toys apart and then reassemble them with good and bad results. What I found in our conversation was a man of faith and deep thinking. Aaron is currently Senior Manager of Data Strategy and Governance at Carhartt, the industrial clothing label that has now become quite the fashion in Europe. He enjoys collaborating with people to find out how he can best use his skills to help them be successful in what they are attempting to achieve. The common theme that is pervasive across his experiences is leveraging technology to drive value. Technology is such a powerful tool, he says, to bring about innovation and transform those who are able to interact with it. A self-confessed professional nerd and lifelong learner, the mantra he believes in is this: if you want to increase your success rate, double your failure rate. A Wordle fan and fiercely competitive with his wife. Aaron, I'm still waiting for those dashboards and analysis on your Wordle competitions. He's also a collector of t-shirts to remember his life from school, college, university, and onwards. I hope you enjoy this episode. Please do like, share, and comment, and enjoy listening to Aaron. As always, behind every data leader, there is a person. And here is Aaron Unplugged. Aaron Wilkerson, thank you so much for coming on to the Data Strategy Show. It's great to see you. Aaron, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I'm definitely a listener. I'm a big fan of it, so I'm happy to be on the here. So, a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great. I like that. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Well, thanks for listening. We're going to get into it. 66 questions. Don't be too daunted by it. So, Aaron, what's your wake-up ritual?
Wake-up ritual is typically, my wife and I are big fans of the game Wordle.
Oh, yes.
So typically, either if I'm up first, I'll make her coffee because I'm not a coffee drinker. She is. Typically, the coffee's going, and then it's kind of like, are you ready to do Wordle? And then, you know, we're doing Wordle. I'm typically better than she is on most days. She usually gets me on some days too, but we're about even lately.
Okay, so you're competing against each other.
We do. It's kind of like whoever can finish it first. You know, you can do it in 3 or 5 or 6. So it's
right.
Kind of like, you know, I'm done in 5, done in 3. So typically Wordle is the first thing we do together. Then, you know, she gets ready, and then I may do a quick workout or get ready, then the kids are up and it's go time.
I think you've got to put together a dashboard about your Wordle competitions.
Yeah, it's funny because they show you the little charts.
So brilliant.
I can show the results because it's, you know, subjective. I can show the look in my chart.
Don't show them to your wife, okay? If you're better than her.
You do the nice little normal distribution. So I'm
using
4 on average.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. Okay, well, what would you say is your biggest strength?
I would say just analysis and problem solving. I have an engineering background, so the ability to kind of break down problems to understand root cause and kind of like, you know, take it down to its essence and then, you know, come up with a solution for it is kind of something I've been doing from a young age.
Great. I love that. Were you ever into Lego or did you take bits? Did you take things apart and then put them back together?
See, I was a guy taking things apart. Always getting toys for, like, you know, Christmas and birthday, and I would take it all apart. Probably couldn't put it all back together, or you put it back together, but there's usually like one piece extra.
Missing.
Okay. Back then you couldn't take pictures of everything, so, you know, now you take pictures of before and after, but then it's, no, I would take it apart, but no, it was never coming back together. So I was definitely a tinker.
Okay, that's good. You're a mechanic then. Just don't do anything on your car, especially if one thing is left out.
Well, that's why I don't touch the car. So I'm nervous about trying to put it back together, and I would not drive it.
What's the biggest learning experience you've had?
I would say in the past year, like, you know, I've been, you know, getting more active on LinkedIn, just trying to make that pivot towards being more strategic. you know, because we're all in our careers where like you're the doer, you're an individual contributor, you're the guy who can get everything done. And then someone tells you, hey, if you want to grow, you need to be more strategic. But it's like, I don't know what that means. So you know, going on LinkedIn, you know, interacting with you and reading people like, you know, Bill Schmarzo and Scott Thompson, all those guys, just kind of reading about strategy, just been a huge kind of shift and learning experience for me, just trying to pivot from being kind of like, you know, the technical guy who can do it all versus kind of actually being you know, strategic and learning about strategy.
Yeah. It's tough, I guess, to come up or even for some people to go down into the details. So at least you've got a foothold. You can, you know, the detail and you know how to embrace that. Coming up is a bit daunting, but if you get that right, then marrying the two is perfect. Many people can't go down. That's what I've seen.
Yeah, because luckily I have a huge kind of tech background. So a lot of like building servers, building VMs, installing stuff. So at least I have the tech background, so I can speak the lingo. But like you said, I can imagine you start at the top, try to go down. It's very tough without like a lot of projects, a lot of engineers.
Absolutely. Are there any hobbies that you will never give up?
Ooh, hobbies that I'll never give up. That's an interesting one. So my guilty pleasure is, so we're a huge Disney World fans.
Okay.
So when the kids were younger, we went to Disney every year. It's a little bit expensive lately.
Okay.
But actually I collect like Disney Christmas sweaters.
Oh, do you? How many have you got?
So I started in 2018. So I got about four or five.
Okay. Yo. Only four. Right.
Yeah. So every year I've been starting to collect those. So I think that's my hobby that I probably won't give up. It's kind of, each year I'll pick one. So I got to figure out the one this year.
Cool. What makes you angry?
What makes me angry? Kind of, it's the whole like fail fast. Like, you know, it's good to learn something, but I get angry during the learning process. So like having that failure of like, you know, going to a meeting, not being prepared, or someone asking a question that I probably should have known already. So it's kind of like, you know, not being prepared or like having to kind of go through the learning. I feel bad on the other side of it. Like I'm glad I learned the lesson, but going through the lesson itself is kind of, it's hard. Cause I'm very hard on myself. So it's kind of like, you know, should I have known that? Should I have prepped better? Kind of, that's kind of what makes me upset, but usually I get over it pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Good. Do you have a first memory of life?
You know, I remember as a child, I probably was four or five, getting my tonsils taken out.
Oh boy.
So I remember like waking up, like, you know, could they give you the, anesthesia and they knock you out using the gas. I remember like waking up and my parents giving me Verner's, which is kind of like a ginger ale soda over here. So I remember that as, I think it's one of my earliest memories, is getting my tonsils taken out.
Oh, wow. That's cool. What's the best compliment you've ever received?
I remember in college, someone saying that they respect me because like, I know who I am, right? So I have a very good knowledge around what I am and what I'm not. And I remember like being like 20 or 21 and someone saying that to me one time, that I came across as like, I knew who I was.
Good. That's amazing.
That's really a compliment, just because like, it's, you know, if you don't, then it becomes very difficult trying to figure life. If you really don't have a firm sense of like, who you are and who you're not.
Yeah, no. I think I definitely think that's a big, big aspect that people do sort of struggle with, but good that you got it at that age. That's fantastic. What makes you smile the most?
My kids. it's just, you know, it's crazy kind of before you have kids and after you have kids, just kind of how much like this person kind of brings out these feelings in you. Cause you all of a sudden like just feel a huge sense of just love, and they just kind of make you smile, especially at nighttime when they're all sleeping. Just kind of just puts a smile on your face, just these little ones that you're called on to love.
Yep. Unconditionally. Yeah, absolutely. What's a cause that is important to you?
You know, I volunteer a lot. In particular, I volunteer a lot of homeless shelters locally. Just because, like, you know, I've been very fortunate in life, you know, education, very good job, able to support my family, but I definitely recognize that there's some of the less fortunate. You know, like kind of like I said, homelessness is kind of something that I've volunteered at the past couple of years. You know, during COVID, you know, a lot of us were kind of at home, so I kind of start to research kind of where I could kind of help out in my community, just because sitting at home all day, you're like, you know, your brain kind of turns to mush. So
yeah, yeah,
that was
true.
One. You know, homelessness is a big one, just kind of, you know, that type of thing.
That's great. Do you have a secret talent?
Oh my gosh, secret talent.
Something that nobody knows about Aaron.
I don't think so. I don't have that many talents.
you can't say that, can you?
If I have a talent, usually someone knows about it. I have a kind of a weird memory where I can remember like scenes or very specific kind of things. So if I meet someone, I'll remember something. I'll remind them about it, like, you know, years later.
Oh, and goodness.
No, either they can't remember, they have like, they're surprised that I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, it's a good trait to have.
Yeah. My wife calls it photographic memory. I don't know if it's that, but I just kind of remember weird things.
Maybe it's instinct, or it's you know, something that a smell or something like that that triggers it, and you know, reminds you of what it is. Brilliant. If you weren't doing what you're doing now, what would you be doing?
What would I be doing? I mean, probably teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I know back in school, I went to undergraduate was in electrical engineering, but for a hot second, I did look into teaching for a little bit.
And would you teach electrical, or would you teach something else? What would you teach?
I mean, probably tech, like technology, IT, data, mm-hmm. kind of what I'm doing professionally now.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe instead of being a practitioner, I would be doing much more teaching.
Yeah, it's just another question, so I've just brought it up.
There you go.
Okay, so you'd be doing something more around tech and IT and stuff like that. Okay, and would you be doing that in school, or would you be doing that in college, or would you be doing that in university? Where do you think?
I mean, probably more like in a school. So I was very fortunate. I was very fortunate, kind of growing up in the, you know, in the inner city, where I had like a lot of different programs and kind of teachers that helped me in my development. So I think.
Yeah.
Connecting back to that with younger people would be very appealing, just because I had those opportunities. So I think more likely like in the school setting.
That's awesome. What are the three things you can't live without?
I would say Coca-Cola. I'm a huge Coke drinker.
Any particular one, or just the natural, the regular one?
You know, I'm a huge, like, it's, here it's called like Mexican Coke. It's kind of pure sugar.
So I've never heard of that.
Yeah, in the glass bottle, instead of using like corn syrup, they use like actual pure cane sugar.
Oh, okay.
And it comes in a glass bottle. So using my glass bottle Cokes, I'm known by.
Uh-huh.
So that's one. I think all mine are probably food related. So
good.
So sugar is a big one for me. So actually, I could just say sugar, because I'm a huge mm-hmm. dessert fan.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be good desserts. So I'm not I'm not into like cheap desserts.
Oh, stuff.
Like,
yeah. It needs to be solid. Yeah.
Very high quality desserts. And what else? I guess YouTube. I'll switch to. So I would say YouTube is a big one. I'm huge into kind of YouTube videos and podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of different podcasts.
Brilliant. What fictional character would you want to be?
Oh my gosh. What fictional character? You know what? When I was a kid, it's a weird, I was huge into the Power Rangers.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah.
So I think like being, if I go back to my roots, I think I'll be one of the Power Rangers. I remember when that came out in like the early 90s, that was just huge.
And was there a specific character in there, or a specific power?
No, they would just like, you know, they would just morph into their costumes and just like fight bad guys. Into huge robots. So that was no power.
I thought they all had some kind of power thingy, and they had a specific, you know, superhuman strength or some kind of thing that gave them.
Yeah, they're always strong, and they could just do a lot of cool like flips and.
I remember the flips. Yeah. That I remember. I didn't watch it that much, but I do remember seeing it on. They were very, very good acrobatically. That's all I could say. Yeah. What's the last show that you binge watched?
So my wife and I are watching Handmaid's Tale. That's on Hulu.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's one that we're kind of finishing up is Handmaid's Tale on.
I haven't seen it, but everybody tells me it's good. What's the most adventurous thing you've done in your life?
I would say starting my family. So we kind of talked about this. So from like June 2009 through July 2017, my wife and I started dating, got married, and then had five children. So over the course of 8 years, went from a single guy to a guy with five children. So
wow.
Pretty adventurous.
Crazy. That is adventurous.
To start a family.
You dived headfirst into all of it, didn't you? Wow.
Yep.
Wow. How would you define yourself in three words?
I would say persistent. You know, once I kind of lock in on something I want, I'm very persistent about kind of getting it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, faithful, definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, religious person into my faith is very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, you know, family oriented.
Yeah.
That's something that, I mean, if you asked me, you know, 15 years ago, I would say it differently, but now, you know, faith, family, and then just, you know, persistence around just finding a goal and kind of jumping into it, but also keeping in mind family and, you know, faith as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Is there anything that is currently inspiring you in the data world right now?
I would say data strategy.
And I didn't pay you to say that, did I? So just let's just make sure people don't.
In particular, you have inspired me.
Honestly, I didn't pay him. Thank you very much, Aaron.
I think there's like an awakening right now. Maybe it's just because with cloud and things are getting more expensive. I think there's a huge awakening that in order for us to kind of continue that, we have data strategy has to be there because for the past couple of decades, we've done a lot of cool stuff, but I think that in order for us to help our businesses grow, we have to be a lot more, you know, strategic and aligning
to
business strategy. So
yeah.
I think that's what's inspiring right now, just kind of how there's a lot more conversation, like via LinkedIn and all these different channels to kind of talk more about strategy versus like pure tech or pure data.
We've
done that.
Fantastic. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
You know, I would say, you know, recently a previous leader of mine just kind of told me to like challenge and call out BS. So I think as a leader,
that's good.
I think as a leader, our roles are more about finding it, you know, finding things and kind of calling people out and saying like, no, that, you know, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand that. Where yes, we'll do that, and no. So I think it's much more being firm and kind of challenging things, especially as you grow at higher levels of leadership. I think your job is to challenge and just call out and say, you know what, like that doesn't make any sense. So I think that was advice, kind of like, you know, as you grow into your leadership, just calling out BS and just kind of challenge.
Yep. No, I think it's not done often enough, actually, from my observations. So it's a completely valid thing for people to do. Yeah. Do you remember the moment that your career completely changed?
I do. So I was earlier in my career and I wasn't as focused. I was more about, you know, just kind of doing things for the sake of doing things. But I had in one of my performance reviews, this was about 4 or 5 years of my career. I had my manager at the time say to me, like, you know, Aaron's one of the most kind of promising people with kind of like the most potential. I remember that really just kind of triggered me. Cause like when I talk about being persistent, I think that kind of made me see that, you know, people thought that I wasn't maybe doing everything I could or kind of not really, you know, fully, you know, kind of fully realizing my full potential. So I remember like that was one of those kind of turning points where I really just kind of became a lot more career focused. Start thinking more about like, you know, how I'm coming across. I remember at that time I started wearing like a shirt and tie every day. You know, this is back when everyone was in the office. So I think that was the point which I really just kind of realized that I had a lot more to offer.
Yeah.
People kind of saw something in me that was like I wasn't really living up to my full potential.
Mm-hmm. That's great. What makes you feel accomplished?
I would say, you know, before being a leader, I think it's really that moment when like you build something or deliver something and people kind of have that aha moment. So you build back then, like, you know, you build that report or dashboard and people have kind of visibility to that thing that they couldn't see before, or it helps them answer questions. But I think as a leader now, it's really like more of the team, right? It's like, you know, Like, I'm not the person delivering the things anymore, but I'm like leading the team that delivers. So it's really like those team wins where the team delivered something. You know, I had some previous team members reach out to me on Monday about some new opportunities they have. So that was a really accomplished that. Like, you know, I helped them with their careers and now they've kind of grown. So I think now is kind of, you know, getting to the senior leadership, more about kind of the team wins and kind of feeling that the team was able to accomplish something, not just me individually.
Great. What three words describe living in the US right now? It's always a tough one for some people. Yeah.
I would say, you know, divisive, kind of, you know, lacking, you know, lacking of identity, lacking leadership, or lacking a compass. And it's kind of like change, you know. I think, you know, with everything, you know, with COVID, with, I think, you know, social media, with the economy, I feel like there's a lot of things changing. We're still trying, everyone's still trying to figure out this new world that we're living in. And we're trying different ways to figure it out.
True. Are you an optimist or a pessimist?
Definitely optimist, which my wife isn't a fan of sometimes, because she'll come home and tell me about, you know, something that happened at work or social media. I'm like, if you guys see it from their side, maybe they're having a good day, or it'll get better. And so I'm definitely like more on the optimistic side of like, oh, it's not that bad, or things will get better, or hey, can't get any worse, which, you know, has pluses and minuses.
I agree. And I have the same outlook, the same conversations with my wife. So that's funny. That's why I'm laughing right now, because it's exactly the same. What's heavily played on your music playlist right now?
So typically, like when I drive my kids to school, I have kind of like a our go to school. So it's like a lot of random like 90s and early 2000s songs that they've never heard of. So a lot of just kind of random music that we listen to. On their way to school, they're usually not fans of it. Sometimes they'll like something. So
you've got to educate them about music, hey?
You have to, because the stuff they listen to now it sounds very similar. It's not very good, so I have to kind of show them
where it came from,
like through the decades.
Yep. I agree. I do the same thing.
Same thing. My parents, when I was growing up, probably said our music was garbage too. So kind of a rite of passage as parents to talk about our kids' music taste.
So true. So true. What three things are at the top of your bucket list?
Top of my bucket list, taking a cruise. So my family and I have not taken a cruise yet. So we still want to take a cruise somewhere. Going to Europe, I think, or overseas travel. With the little ones, it's they're a little bit younger still, so we're kind of still waiting to be able to do that. And I think physically, I've thought about, you know, doing like an Ironman, and I've done like marathons.
Oh wow!
So probably doing some more when the kids get older. Probably something like an Ironman or some type of a physical type of activity.
Well, I look
to balance out the more travel leisure.
Yes. And the excessive sugar and lovely cakes.
Oh yeah, well, especially on a cruise. Like, that's all I hear about cruises, just like you just eat nonstop the whole time.
So maybe you do the cruise, then you train for the Ironman.
There you go.
Splurge, and then
get back to discipline.
What book did you most recently finish?
Bob Iger's book. He was the former CEO of Disney. He did like a memoir. It's called like A Ride of a Lifetime. So very one of the best strategy books I've read. Just kind of, he talked about his life and kind of become the CEO of Disney, how that happened, kind of the major things. So how they bought Pixar, how they bought Marvel, how they bought his film. So very just, and I usually do audiobooks. I just don't.
Oh, you don't?
And I read books.
Yeah.
Audiobooks. So while I'm exercising, I'll just kind of turn on the audiobook and kind of listen. While I'm doing things. So that was one of the most recent books I felt.
And what was the name of it? What was the name of the bachelor book?
It was called, I think, A Ride of a Lifetime, or like The Ride of a Lifetime.
Oh, The Ride of a Lifetime. Okay. No, I always like to, I think I need to go back, listen, and document every book that that you know, my guests have spoken about, and then put that out as a post, because I think that would be quite interesting.
Yeah.
To see, you know, 25 episodes later, what people are reading. If you could go back in time, what would you tell your 16-year-old self?
Probably talk about, money, just talk about compound interest, like, you know, save early, invest in yourself. Physical, just like make sure you're keeping exercise important. Mm-hmm. And then probably just like not taking things so seriously. Because it's like the phrase goes, like, typically nothing's as bad as it seems at the time. Yes. But I'm very easy to kind of like, you know, mentally just kind of things happen, I kind of blow up, and then it kind of comes right back down. It's kind of like, you know, not especially that age, like, no, you don't need to figure everything out.
No.
Test, but it happens. You know,
but everything is hugely important, isn't it, at that age? It's just...
Yeah, and it's like speed, right? You got to graduate, you got to finish college, you got to start a job, and also, like, you know, just take your time. Like, you have plenty of time.
Yeah, good, good. If you could switch lives with one person for a day, who would it be?
I would say probably Elon Musk, because I'm curious, like, to me, like, time management is interesting because we all have the same amount of time in a day, but for him to have so many different, like, companies and so many competing priorities, like, how do you, like, how do you manage all that in a day?
He's got a lot of people around him.
Yeah, exactly. How do you split up your time?
Yeah.
As someone who has so much stuff, because, like, we all have the same amount of time in a day. So it's like, what are you doing different that some people aren't? And maybe it's just more focused where every minute is already pre-planned out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly. What's one thing you've always wanted to try but just haven't got around to it?
One thing I wanted to try, I haven't got around to it. What comes to mind is like skydiving for some reason.
Okay.
I don't know why, but that's
cool.
I kind of sort of don't want to do it, but it also seems kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. If you had to change something in the world right now, what would it be?
I would say just reason and logic. Like, I find that, you know, trying to talk to people is very difficult, but if everyone kind of got back to kind of base reason and logic when we have these discussions and kind of a frame of truth and objectivity, I think that would help a lot. So I think just kind of everyone kind of listening to just kind of those basic, kind of basic truths and just reasoning, logic, and listening to sound arguments. Our political sphere.
Yes, and I think social media has ruined a lot of that, probably.
I left 2 years ago, I used to be on Facebook. I completely left the platform just because, you know, during COVID, the election was coming up. We had so much stuff going on. It was just too toxic. And I kind of backed away. You know, you try to have arguments and no one's listening. It's like, I'm not changing their minds. Let me just stop.
No, I've never been on Facebook. I just never understood the point of it, really. If you could resurrect one person from history and put them in the world today, who would it be?
My first impression is like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You know, there's a lot of those people who kind of probably who died too soon.
Yes.
You're curious to see, like, if they lived longer, like, what more could they have done if they had lived 80 or 90 versus dying knowing you're in your 20s or 30s. That's the first person that comes to mind.
Perfect. And we talked about exercise earlier and your Ironmans, but do you have a favorite exercise?
I do like lifting weights. So lifting weights, and also I do have a Peloton. So that's a pretty pretty fun one. You can do it, you know, in the basement with music.
Yeah, perfect. What's the one thing you wish you knew at the age of 19?
More of, like I said, like, faith is important to me. So more about kind of religion and kind of faith, because I didn't learn that until I was much my mid-20s. So
I think
learning at that point probably would have changed kind of how I treated people and kind of how I behaved at an early age.
That's true. You mean, like, you know, getting a grounding of ethics and you know, responsibility and so on. It's tough.
Because especially at that age, like, you can, you know, we go into kind of college with kind of without like that solid grounding, like, you just kind of are all over the place.
True. If you were not living in the US, where would you be living?
Italy comes to mind. So my wife and I have talked about kind of retirement, and for some reason, kind of probably because of watching a lot of movies, just going to Italy, like Tuscany, kind of all the countryside seems very interesting.
If you could offer one piece of advice to upcoming data leaders, what would it be?
Probably talk to the business. Get close to the business, talk to them, learn their language, learn what's important to them, because that's how I think we move the needle. You can show them all the fancy charts and graphs and data, but you know, if they don't care about it, then it's not a good place. And I've learned that the hard way of doing a lot of cool stuff, and they said that's nice, and they never used it. So figure out what's important to them, talk to them, learn their language, how they make decisions, like, you know, be lock and step with them. Is what I would tell people. And that's something I wish I would have done that more in college. You know, I kind of have a electrical engineering degree and background, but I think taking much more business courses and learning about that side would have helped out a lot.
Yeah, and then a sound advice. You know how I feel about all of that kind of stuff. So it's brilliant. What was the best vacation you've ever taken?
I would say Disney World. Like I said, taking my kids to Disney World, because it's very, especially years ago when it was a little cheaper, kind of like everything's kind of, they take care of you. So when you get off the air, you land on the airport, you know, you take the bus ride. So they take you on the bus to the property. They have their own transportation system. So feel like you kind of prepay for the food. So I feel like it's kind of like a little small city in itself. Like you don't have to worry about kind of driving around and kind of coordinating.
Fantastic.
It's all there for you. So it's much, especially when you have little kids, like it's not really a vacation for you. It's just
I know what you mean.
So having experience like that where you can kind of also be taken care of a little bit is
that's brilliant. That's very good. What's one city you've always dreamed of traveling to?
I would say probably Rome. Just I know there's a lot of history there. Vatican's there. Just a lot of history there.
Yeah,
I think Rome, Italy.
You could spend a week there and you still wouldn't see everything. It's unbelievable. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah. It's an incredible place. What was the best lesson your parents ever taught you?
I think my father, because my father was a gym teacher. He worked in Detroit public school system for like 30 years. I remember he kind of talked about just loving what you do, because he loved it, because he was a gym teacher, so the kids loved going to his class. They loved kind of being around him, so he always talking about just kind of loving what you do and just kind of being happy in what you do every day. So that's something that I always kind of took to heart, where I can, because I have a good idea of kind of, you know, my own reflections, I can kind of tell like when I'm not enjoying something or something's not as fun, then I kind of have to make adjustments, because I don't sit too well in kind of being unhappy or just not enjoying. So I think just really enjoying kind of, you know, what you do every day, and not kind of hating your profession.
No, I agree with that. I agree. You talked about food earlier. What's your favorite food?
Huge barbecue fan. So
fantastic.
Brisket, ribs, pulled pork, mac and cheese. So that's
lovely.
That's definitely a huge one.
You're making me hungry now. I haven't had my lunch yet. Do you have a favorite podcast?
Yours?
No. No, you don't. No. Do you listen to? It's always good to hear what other people listen to apart from mine. If there are others.
Yeah, Diary of a CEO is one I listen to.
Oh yes, Stephen Bartlett.
I just listened to it yesterday. I had to drive to a meeting for a couple hours, so I listened to it. So I feel like that one I've listened to a lot more lately, because he's got a lot of just really cool guest on.
Recently,
I've really kind of listened to that one.
I listened to the early episodes, but I've got to get back into it actually. So you see how it reminds me of things that I'm not doing as well. How do you relax?
I'm very conscious about kind of my time and where I spend it, just because it's so easy to be everywhere. So typically my family, like, you know, on the weekends, we like, you know, so my kids do American, you know, I say American football. So they just finished up with that. So, you know, Friday is a very important week. We call it Pizza Friday, where
okay.
you know, we get a couple pizza, yeah. sit down and watch movies with the family.
Yeah.
Saturday, we're watching college football.
Okay.
So we do that as a family. So I think really just kind of spending time with family, just kind of
that's nice.
Not being too busy, just kind mm-hmm. of being at home.
Mm-hmm. No, I like that. What's a movie that made you cry?
I remember The Pursuit of Happiness. It's from like 2000, maybe 4 or 5, Will mm-hmm. Smith. I remember mm-hmm. like watching that like as a parent. I remember mm-hmm. like just having a completely different feeling when I watched that movie versus like being single, because like you watch him kind of like, you know, sleeping in
that toilet bathroom. Yeah, yes, in the bathroom. Yeah, yeah,
that remember was, that hit me like wow.
That same here. I was thinking the same scene as you said, and that really hit me as well. Just seeing your child and holding him, and you know, that was gut wrenching. It really was. Who would you say is your biggest inspiration?
I would say my parents. Just because, like I said, they're very. Kind of reminds me of my wife and I. They're very different people, but I feel like mm-hmm. I've taken something from each of them.
Yeah.
And I think that they've offered me a lot of opportunities that I've fully taken advantage of, mm-hmm. even though, like, you know, my life is probably kind of weird for them, because in terms of, like, you know, getting married quickly, having kids right away, like, you know, being very, they kind of set the stage for me to just be able to take advantage of so many opportunities and kind of live the life I've wanted to.
Great.
Because they allowed it. And I think I learned a lot from them. We kind of got a lot of things from them.
Fantastic. If you are in front of a window now, which I think you might be, what can you see from your window?
I can see my garage, and I can see a lot of leaves
mm-hmm.
and a awesome. Lot of
yes, full.
Black and brown squirrels running around.
Okay. What's something from your childhood that you still have, you still possess?
I have a lot of like t-shirts, so like from middle school,
okay,
high school. I still have like I can't fit in them, but I still have some of the t-shirts from like eighth grade. My wife makes fun of me for keeping it, but you know, you just keep those things around. I know they go in the closet and you bring them with you and you still have them, so I think that's one of the
sounds like there's a bit of a trend there now. You see you're collecting clothes, you're collecting Christmas jumpers, and you've been collecting t-shirts. Yeah,
I'm not a huge collector. That's the only thing I collect. I don't really collect a lot of things.
Brilliant. What's a data trend that you would like to see disappear?
I would say I think the whole data mesh, data fabric is extremely, and I know some of those aren't really tech. It's just very confusing and I'm not seeing anything very new in some of that stuff. Like, seems to me very similar to things we've been talking about for the past 20 or 30 years, but they're being kind of like branded and repackaged as something new. It just doesn't make sense, and I don't understand like what's so new about it, and mm-hmm. we're already struggling with so many things. Like, you're throwing something new into the mix and we're already struggling trying to get core things out of the way.
Yeah, and you did say a lot of things have just been repackaged from, you know, 20, 30 years. So it seems like it's just a recycling trend.
Right, and you're seeing a lot of literature and marketing of, like, you know, why do you need data mesh and data fabric?
Yeah.
Like, do we really need that, or can we just get by with what we have already?
Yeah, well, let's see. Let's see how it pans out. Do you have a favorite band?
Not really. I'm not in, like, it's kind of a mixture. I mean, I listen to all different kinds of music. And I was listening to Adele this morning. I was talking about it with friends where, like, at this stage in our lives, like, who would we actually pay to go actually see in a concert? Concerts are pretty expensive. My wife's a huge Counting Crows fan.
Right.
But I was saying, like, you know, some
are they still around? Are they still a band?
Yeah, they still kind of close to. We saw them last summer. We saw them perform.
Right, right.
I kind of said, like, you know, like Adele is someone I would pay. You know, Prince and Michael Jackson when they were still alive, I would pay to see them. Or Bruno Mars. Is another one too. Mm-hmm. I would go see. Those are artists, not bands.
And which because I'm just going to ask you now, which Prince concert was the last one that you went to?
I actually never got to see him.
Oh, my goodness.
I remember he was local, like right before he died, he had a show here. But I remember it was like
$200.
I was like, oh, that's a lot of money. But in retrospect, I wish I would have like paid to see that. Because it's one of those things that, you know, you can at least say you saw in your lifetime is to go see him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's a superpower you wish you had?
Ability to just predict the future. Or be able to like time travel, so be able to go into the past, especially like your kids, when like your kids get older, you like think about them when they were younger. So I think going back into the past to kind of see, or maybe time travel, be able to go in the past to kind of see like when you were a kid and kind of your parents and grandparents who may not be around, or
Lovely.
Time travel.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's something you don't want to be doing in 10 years time?
Yelling at my kids about just mundane, silly things, like asking my sons to like shower and brush their teeth.
Oh God!
Putting deodorant on.
Oh yes. Why did they never remember these things? I just don't get it.
It's every day in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, guys, in the morning I'm going to ask you to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Or they get home from football practice sweaty. I'm like, guys, every day you got to shower and get home.
Yeah.
You gotta shower today. Yes, you have to shower when you get home. I'm going to say the same thing every day.
I have the same thing with my daughter. I just don't get it. You know, every day is the same thing. This is like Groundhog Day for me.
Yeah, it's like a universal parenting. Every parent I talk to, we're all facing the same challenges. But I recall when I was little, so I think it's just payback. So I remember, I think as a parent, you realize things that you did when you were little. Like, oh, yeah, my parents used to yell at me about that, too. And
mine didn't, you see? Either. Mine didn't. Not at all. So now having to yell at mine is just crazy. I'm like, nah, you know. Looking back on your life, is there anything you would have done differently?
You know, just being kinder to people. Especially just like in relationships, you know, before you meet your spouse, you know, everyone's kind of gone through different relationships, and you know, some people we were kind to and some people were not so kind to. So
I think
just being kinder to individuals, you know, having people remember you for good things, not bad things, just kind of having a, you know, better relationship with people.
I agree with that. Which movie makes you laugh the hardest?
Oh my goodness, these are hard questions. There was a movie called, I remember, Team America. Like,
oh, World yeah. The puppet movies. The puppet movie. The puppet.
I would never, ever take my kids to see that. But I remember seeing that and just laughing so hard. But I would never take my kids to see that because it was definitely not child appropriate.
No. They have to be a little bit older to see that. What's a skill you're currently working on mastering?
Executive level communication, right? So crafting, crafting a vision, communicating a vision. I struggle pretty hard with PowerPoint. Just like you have to talk and trying to look, you know, those people who kind of put together those perfect presentation with like the like they have the all the charts and all the different squares and boxes. And I'm just not built that way. So trying to kind of craft the vision and like the communication around, like, you know, our CEO or executive may want to see these things. So I think trying to build that skill set, because it's so different from kind of like on the technical side, where you're just
absolutely.
I built the thing and it works, versus like I'm creating a vision, creating a strategy and showing how we're going to execute it. It's just such a different skill set that I'm still working through.
Yeah. And some of the things that I remember having to do is to think about all of those people that you're presenting to and how they like to consume information. And what is it? And I think, you know, back to your point earlier, especially to the C-suite with strategy, speak to them about their business, speak to them about how it's going to help it, and, you know, what they're going to be doing in 5 years time that's different. What is the level of revenue projection, or what, you know, what will you, no, it's not about we will put technical
piece in here and it will do this. It just, I've seen so many of them that it's just, oh, you know, and I've seen people gloss over looking at it thinking, why do I need to know this? So it's a hugely, hugely, you know, massive skill that people don't master. So I think it's a good thing that you're doing.
And they don't care about how the sausage gets made. They just want it, they want the results, and they want the trust that you're the guy to deliver it. So correct. It's kind of like, you know, okay, you need this many people, this much money, go ahead. But I don't care about all the in between of how it gets done. Just
gets it's done. None of the, they don't really, why would they? You know, that's what I say to people. What three words best describe your leadership style?
I would say available, right? So somebody needs something, I can move my calendar around, kind of make myself available. Understanding, because I was in that role once before, I can relate. And I would say just empathy, like, you know, I'm a human being just like everyone else, so I can understand when people are frustrated or concerned or sad. So I definitely, I'm not like a robot, it's like, just talk about words. Let's talk about your family and you know, the challenges you're dealing with and the successes and wins. So definitely try to be empathy.
I agree. I mean, we're all people, right? We've all got challenges, like you said. And if you know that person, you understand them, then you can get to the root of it and help them to create a better kind of world for them, you know, as a leader, which is...
Because no one shows up to work and I just want to do a terrible job. And
yeah, of course they don't. Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Everyone wants to support their family.
Oh, yeah.
They want to be...
the best at what they're doing. Yeah. And I totally agree with that. Yeah. What are currently your top three data challenges?
I would say kind of that alignment to the business strategy, building the right team and skill sets. Because I think we all know there's a challenge kind of finding
The right people.
The right people. So I think it's really just alignment to the business strategy. You know, the team, like, you know, trying to find the right skill sets, and also just timelines and execution. Cause I think, you know, things pretty quickly, but these things take time.
Yeah.
And you know, people understand it, but also you kind of want to kind of move. Cause I think as a leader, because you're not hands on keyboard, you have to kind of wait for the team to be built. So a lot of patience is a challenge for me, because I'm used to from previous life, like being the guy in there writing the code, delivering the stuff. So I'm used to kind of getting it done, but now you have to kind of build the team and the team. You have to kind of wait and make sure, you know, things are being done right.
Different skill set. What is something that recently moved you?
So there's a show called The Chosen. It's a show about kind of like a series about Jesus Christ. So it shows it's kind of like a 7-season show. It's kind of very much a crowdfunded, so they're on season 3. So it's kind of, instead of a movie, it's more like an actual TV series, but it's all online about kind of, you know, Jesus and his people. So very much a kind of different way of seeing this. It's just very much moving in terms of just kind of that story and kind of lying to faith and things like that.
Excellent. And it's on a particular channel or?
I forgot the name of the, it's all on the app, right? So
I see.
But it's like, it's not on like Hulu. They've kind of crowdfunded their own. They're doing it on their own. The show's The Chosen.
Oh, okay. I will look it up. What's the one thing you had to learn the hard way?
Being prepared. Kind of like, you know, when you show slides, like they have, like it has to make sense. Like when you show numbers, the numbers should add up, the numbers should total from one slide to the next slide. And when you put dates on a slide, then if the dates are passed, someone's going to ask you around, okay, like, is that done or not? So really just kind of like, if you're presenting information, the information has to make sense and it has to be contextualized, because someone will ask you. Now, so I've had some hard meetings where I kind of showed something that didn't make sense and I got called out of it. So it's one of those like hard learning, but you learn. You won't do it again once you go.
Absolutely. But you learn huge amounts from it, right? So, which is amazing. For how do you handle pressure in your career?
You know, typically I kind of have to take that second, because usually I kind of, it gets very large. So I kind of have to break it down. So kind of goes back to like analysis of problem solving, really just trying to understand the nuances. Okay, like, why am I feeling, kind of like the, why am I feeling pressured? Is it a is a realistic fear, or is it kind of made up in my head? Is someone putting pressure on me, or is I'm just putting pressure on myself? So I usually get pretty quiet, and I kind of get very internal in trying to kind of work through it, and then I kind of can figure it out.
Okay.
But very much go into problem solving.
It's a good technique. What's something you notice about someone when you first meet them?
Just kind of their demeanor. Like if they're cheerful, they give off a, are they sad? Are they cheerful? Do they get off a very friendly presence, or do they seem upset at something? So kind of like, you know, someone's kind of demeanor.
Their aura or demeanor. What's something you still like to learn?
Languages. So I. I always feel bad, especially as like, and I feel like Americans in particular, where you meet a lot of people, you work with people like in Europe and they can speak like two or three languages. We have people down in Mexico we work with, they can speak multiple languages, but we only speak like English. So definitely would like to learn more languages, just because I think there's just no benefit, especially as we talk about travel. You know, I've traveled, and it's very tough kind of going to some countries when you only speak English.
And are you learning anything right now, or are you thinking of learning something, or?
I guess that's another bucket list item. So I would like to kind of, you know, dabble in the cups. I've not actively tried, but it's kind of on my list probably next year to try out.
Okay. Any particular language?
I always think about like Spanish or German or French. I took some French in high school, but that's kind of where it ended.
Okay.
So kind of picking back up some of those, you know, European languages, maybe Spanish.
Oh, cool. Now, Aaron, my final question for you. What would you like to be remembered for?
I think it's just being helpful, you know, being kind and being helpful, where people remember me as, you know, someone who helped them in their career, their life, helped them work through a problem, helped them in some way. I think that's what people, it's kind of like that phrase of like, you know, people don't remember what you said, they remember how you made them feel. So just remember as kind of how I came across and how I made someone feel, and hopefully it's a positive memory. You know, we all have those people you used to work with, or people you know personally, where it's like you hope you never see them again, or they kind of put a bad taste in your mouth. So hopefully that I came across in a positive manner.
Wonderful. Well, Aaron Wilkerson, thank you so much for coming on to the Data Strategy. It's been a pleasure to speak to you, and I look forward to speaking further. But thank you so much for being on.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me here.
My pleasure. Great pleasure.